Number three, divine messengers bringing direct words from heaven to shift the earth for the greatest habitation of the glory of God. And I thought, when the Lord gave me that, I just thought immediately of John the Baptist. He said this of himself. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." And the power, we know, of John's message, the power of his message that rested on him as a prophet of the Lord was his words, because he did no miracles. So his power was in what he was speaking. And I believe that you're going to have pioneers released all across the United States, releasing the word of the Lord as never before. This is a season, this is what the Lord told me coming into 2020. This is a season of joy and divine order in the body of Christ. I will begin to bring order in the leaders of my body. For those who I have showed great mercy to but fail to repent, I will expose ungodliness and cause what I built through many people to crumble. My great desire is for my leaders to build things that last for generations. I also desire for them to build with an eternal purpose. I'm releasing a cleansing in the body of Christ. Only what is birthed from heaven will stand, and a lifestyle of ungodliness will not be tolerated. I'm releasing a fresh baptism of purity and holiness. My people will ascend the hill of the Lord with a pure heart and a clean heart. This is a season of purity and holiness that is being birthed in my people unlike anything before. I desire for waves of cleansing to come to my house. This is a season of pioneering in the body of Christ as never before. Did I not say to you that I would build my church and the gates of hell would not prevail? In this season, apostolic structures will emerge in the earth. New wineskins will emerge that I tend to carry them into eternity. Yes, build for eternity, build for eternity, build for eternity. Many of the purposes I've had for previous generations were not built. They were not built not because my people, they were not built because my people had an earthly perspective. They were bound and thought things like this will be sufficient, or it's not really possible to do it that way. In this season of pioneering in the earth, I want my people and especially my leaders to be marked with eternity. When you're marked with eternity, you can build for eternity. When you build from one generation to next, the purposes of God will and can be fulfilled. This will be a season of divine messengers on the earth. I saw a close group of pioneers in the earth. I see them as large flames of fire bringing the word of the Lord. Not only will they bring the word of the Lord, but they will release and bring divine strategies to the earth. They will birth strategies that have not existed previously on the earth. In this season, I desire for the people of God to display what I've never displayed on the earth before. This is my divine will. Some messengers are tried and tested servants. They value the presence of God and seek the face of God above all else. They will love the beauty of God and embrace the character of God in every area of their lives. These pioneers will love the body of Christ and will be deeply connected to spiritual communities. Many of these pioneers will come together to form covenant relationships that will actively advance the purposes of the kingdom of God. In this season, you will see the body of Christ come together as one family. They will be a loving expression of what I've always desired them to be. The Lord says it's time for the corporate man to rise. It's time for my fivefold leaders to join in purpose, vision, and resources for the establishment and the advancement of my kingdom. During this time, I'm releasing messengers on the earth. These messengers will be both young and old. They will be from different cultures, different backgrounds, and different streams. They will be unified and have a unique sound on the earth. The words they will release on earth will carry a weight and authority unlike any other generation before them. They will cause sounds on the earth. Unusual weather patterns as a sign that those words are truly from heaven. They will speak words from heaven. The words will cause the heavens to open and the earth and the ground to be shaped as God intends. words from heaven will penetrate the spirit of government and cause my people in that spirit of government to be birthed. Words from heaven will be released into cities. It will cause my purposes to be established. Words from heaven will be released into the economic system, and it will cause corruption to be exposed. Systems of man will fail. But if my people understand the timing and seasons they live, they will live over and above those systems that have failed. If you choose to hear, listen for divine instruction, increase and prosperity will be your portion. I have preordained words from heaven before the foundation of the earth for my people to speak in this season. These words will cause my people to fulfill the plans and the purposes I have for them, and they will bring great glory to my name. So, messengers. Number four, fivefold ministry leaders working together to establish the government of God and equip God's people for the work of the ministry. Look at Ephesians 4. Verse 1, there is one body and one spirit. One body, one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. In other places, you'll notice that this is this is not a minor statement that Paul is making. He makes it in Romans, and he also makes it in 1 Corinthians, that he emphasizes this concept. There is only one body. One body having individual members that contribute to one another to add to the purposes of God, but also fully represent Jesus in the earth. Through you all and in you all. Verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Notice the gifts he made and notice the order he puts in order. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now, you'll see why this is so key to the purposes of God. Because in Psalm 68, He is actually quoting that, and he's giving a picture of when the nation of Israel would win a war and they would put the spoils up on a mountain and they would show it to the nation. They would go, this is the spoils that you have partaken of the victory we have won. So when Jesus is saying this, when Paul is saying this, he's speaking about Jesus, that when Jesus died, resurrected, and then seated at the right hand of the Father, that's also really important. Why is that so important? Because he's exalted so we can be exalted with him right here, right now. It's important that you know that. He understood that he had to die, resurrect, and go up so you can live from up there even though you're down here. And these are the gifts he gave. So I gave these gifts, and this is what he gives so that the people of God can become. He himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by every trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head of the church. So he gives these gifts, and these gifts are all needed. They come in different men and women. Jesus operated in all five of these when he walked on the earth. He was the apostle, because he was the sent one. And then what does he tell us? As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So every believer, not necessarily is an apostle, obviously, only God calls those things. I always say, it doesn't matter who put oil on you, blow a shofar on you, you know, gave you a certificate. If God didn't call you, doesn't mean anything. Man can only recognize what God called. But he gave them, the apostle was a sent one. He was a sent one. He was the pastor because he was the shepherd of people's souls. He stopped for the 99. He was the evangelist Because he drew people to himself. He was the great teacher. They said, we've never heard anyone teach like this. So he functioned in all of these. And what was he doing? He was modeling what he would give to the body of Christ so that people would be properly equipped. Without these graces and offices functioning in a local body, people will be deficient in a certain way. Go back to the workout analogy. If all you do is work out your upper body, you have big chest and arms, puny legs. It kind of looks funny, right? Big chest, small legs, spaghetti legs. Not spaghetti legs, bird legs. Looks weird. So you want the whole development. It's really important that you're receiving from. And we, you know, sometimes we're drawn to things and it's nice, but we need the whole. And some people, some ministries, they're giving a grace to trumpet a certain message. But it's important that we get the different aspects of those. So as believers, as leaders, it's important not only to work together, to recognize and honor those other people. You know, I like to listen to feedback. Especially my board of directors, and they're like fathers and things. I like to listen, and it's always very interesting how people have little different tweak perspectives, and they're all in Christ. They're all called to lead, all called to give counsel. You know, me, sometimes if I'm a leadership meeting, you know, you're sitting with someone who's obviously, I'm not a pastor. People are like, have you ever led a church? I said, no, God loves people. And I'm going, what has God said? And let's move forward. And the pastor's like, I just don't know if the people are ready for this. This is just, what did God say? You know. And the teacher's going, well, I think we could do like a 6-week series on kind of breaking down the transition we're doing as a church, you know. And the evangelist is like, we're not winning enough souls, you know. But those anointings we know are not just for that, but so that every person has a grace to be the evangelist. Every person has a grace to teach, to instruct. You might not ever stand in front of a pulpit, but you have those tools that are being given to you as you're equipped for the work of the ministry. Now, the important thing then, too, for believers, and this is an emphasis right now, is that when you come into this corporate gathering, it's not just like something cultural to do. This is the gathered community, the ecclesia, the governing ones that God has put on the earth. When you come together, there is supposed to be this synergistic power that you cannot find even in your own personal connection with the Lord. Because I can represent Christ as best I can in my purpose, my calling. But the beauty, the full beauty of God cannot be represented unless everyone functions in their purpose. This was what Paul gave language to, that the church, that the ecclesia might be known to the principalities and power. And when he says the church might make known to the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, he uses this phrase, the manifold wisdom of God. So what's he paints this, the word gives this picture of this multifaceted beauty that is expressed, that you express Christ. We're all supposed to be like Christ, but you have been made a unique way to express Christ uniquely in your sphere of influence, in the place of purpose that God has called you to. The manifold wisdom of God can only be known when it's done through the corporate body, not everyone coming to kiss the bishop's ring. I don't even like the term going to church. I like the term gathered community, because the church is this governing thing that everywhere it goes, it's supposed to define where the environment that it's in. And also what's really important is that in teaching and training, we don't We put values in people, but we make sure we allow them to keep their uniqueness. We don't, sometimes, and it's not necessarily all bad, just pointing to it as an idea that if it goes to it goes right, it could be really bad. Like if you go to maybe a certain place where they train young people, or they have a school ministry or Bible college, if there is a charismatic person leading that, sometimes you see this tendency for people to think that God wants to reclone 30 other people like that. And often one of the goals of religion is to talk people out of their uniqueness. There's a guy I know, he likes rapping. I don't. That's not my thing. But God bless you if you like rapping. But there's something unique about what he likes. Some of you like gardening. Some of you like working on cars. I don't necessarily like the things that you like, but there is a reason that you like those things. And we don't want to talk people out of those things. And maybe not so much in this environment, but it's so important that we don't just make everyone want to look the same, be the same. You know? Now the other side of that, finally, you get to this point. Thanks for coming this morning. That when you come, because there's supposed to be this corporate synergy, is that you come ready to receive the deep things of God. There's this burden on my heart that I believe many leaders have things that God wants them to release and equip to the people of God. But often, we gotta stay in, discipleship 101. Because Sister Jenny, who's been a believer for 20 years, is mad at Sister So-and-so because she's been here all weekend. And I served in this conference and nobody's given me credit. So that affects the corporate flow. And so we got to teach elementary things when we should be giving people deeper things. Not anything that goes beyond Scripture, but there should be a deeper depth to the instruction that we're getting. So as members of a body, you have to protect your hearts and make sure you work things out quickly with people because you affect the corporate flow. You have a responsibility as a member. I'm not talking about perfection. Listen, went to lots of meetings. Sometimes my parents' most unholiest moments were on the way to church. Way to the church building, I hadn't seen them argue all week. And there they, they're throwing shoes at each other on the way to the meeting, The good thing, we were Pentecostal, so there was an altar call for that. Number five, this is really important. Have you got something out of this morning?
Yes.
Learning to see humanity through the lens of God's mercy and goodness. Learning to see humanity through the lens of God's mercy and goodness. This is really, really important. Back to Daniel here. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, this is Daniel chapter 4, was astonished for a time and his thoughts troubled him. This is amazing. This is not a nice man. He's an unrighteous man. So the king spoke to Belshazzar and said, "Do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you." Belshazzar answered, "My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies." He actually tells him later, he's giving him a word of judgment. The interpretation, he's very fascinating to me. Daniel serves at least people who probably be the equivalent, probably the modern day equivalent we know probably to three different Saddam Husseins. And what's fascinating to me is he knows Daniel can give him an interpretation. Daniel does have the interpretation. But what's fascinating to me is when Daniel actually says to him, he's like, "Well, maybe if you begin to act righteously, God will relent. Or let's hope that maybe it's one of your enemies." It's really fascinating. That even though he's giving him a strong word of judgment, he is seeing him through the lens of God's love and mercy for his life. And he only tells him what God wanted to tell him. He doesn't go, This is happening because you let the LGBTQ people take over and you left the abortion clinics open during COVID. Now God's judging you. I'm not even saying those words are necessarily all wrong. I'm just saying that he's seeing a man who needs God's mercy on his life. And this is one of the defining things that we must keep guard of in this season. He implored us in Matthew 16, verse 16. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, political and religious spirit. Because if those things cloud how we view people, it'll be very dangerous. It'll be very difficult to minister to them. Be very, very careful about what you say about political leaders you disagree with. Sometimes I'm shocked. That idiot governor, I'm going to go, oh, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Why? Words transmit spirits. You're adding to his delusion. I think Joseph is a great picture. He stands before Pharaoh, and he becomes the voice of God to Pharaoh. And in becoming the voice of God to Pharaoh, he opens a door of favor so he can influence and save a nation. So I encourage you to ask yourself in this season, what is defining the lens of your reality? I've used myself many times. I stopped watching. I didn't really watch a whole lot, but I can't watch anymore. The governor's updates in North Carolina. Because it takes me about 25 minutes to repent and get it right with the Lord. I'm being very honest. I don't have the maturity to do it. But I have been praying for him. I can't say every day, so I say nearly every day. I think I remember every morning. Lord, I pray for Governor Cooper. Open the eyes of his understanding. And I began to pray for people, his family. It makes me view him completely differently. It's better that I don't see him talk. That's a whole lot better. So it's true. I'm just being honest. I am believing God, though. He apparently enjoys time with dogs. I know people who live near him. And I'm praying he has lots of times with his dogs in November. Lots of time. Lots of extra time. But it's so important that we see people properly. Pray for people. Pray for even things we don't understand. I don't know why. I pray for Nancy Pelosi just about every day too. Open the eyes. Now I do pray. Do you know it's very interesting? I wouldn't say every day, but one of the people that when I would pray for the Supreme Court, I would pray for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I understood man, he ran a prayer house for years, still has it, but they prayed, and they were right. That was their main mandate, to pray for the government, especially the Supreme Court. And he looked at me, he goes, you know, we pray for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I adopted his prayer. Either she would shift to righteousness, or she'd have to go. I pray it was both. Pray it was both. The Bible teaches us that we should have no joy in the death of the wicked. As little, like, are they really saying that? You know? Doesn't matter what I thought about her life. She stood before the ultimate judge. My job was to pray for her. Believe God. So we got to see people in terms like this. Spring about to a more practical level, our family members, people we disagree with. All these things are really, really important. I'm not saying I've got it all together, but I just noticed you pray for someone, you look at them completely different. Here's something I've learned, or the Lord just dropped in my heart. We'll do the last point here. That when our highest delight is not in the Lord, the lens by which we view reality will become distorted. And I think it's very important, too, to distinguish that there have been many different narratives, especially the last 3 or 4 months, that have tried to define the body of Christ. And they're not even biblical concepts. And so it's very important that we distinguish these things. And in the name of compassion, we should not embrace ungodly philosophies. Very, very important. So I encourage you to allow the Lord to move in those areas, your life. And position yourself where you stay beyond the many narratives trying to define your life. Even many believers have been defining things through the lens of race. And it is a ploy of the enemy. I want to suggest to you that most people in America are on the same page when it comes to most things. It's the enemy's divide and conquer strategy that causes offense and different things to come up. Most people saw that video in Minneapolis, were outraged. Ah, that was wrong. Doesn't look right. We should investigate that. Where does the enemy try to divide us? If you don't say anything about this, you're a racist. You know. Black lives matter. Blue lives matter. All lives matter. You know. All these different things. They're trying to divide people. Divide and conquer. And if you don't think like me or whatever, be very wary of that. Because it's causing further divide. Among the people God wants to keep together. Here's a final one that goes along with this. The people of God learning and understanding new paradigms for which we relate to the world. In this season, divine strategy, divine wisdom, divine understanding, and divine birthing will occur. I desire a new renaissance to be released through the body of Christ. It will cause the eyes of humanity to be turned toward the beauty created by my sons and daughters. If you seek me for understanding, it will be found. The wisdom to birth the dream that is in your heart will be your portion. This is a season of unique and divine strategies from heaven. They're being released on the earth for those who have a listening and attentive ear. I'm releasing immense grace for my people to wait on the Lord, listen to the word of the Lord, receive great wisdom for the application of the word of the Lord. In this season, my great desire is to release divine words from heaven. These words will quickly and speedily come to pass. As my people lean into me with corresponding wisdom, I'm releasing keys that would unlock the manifestation of prophetic words and mandates, some given long ago. In this season, the just shall walk by faith as never before. I want to enlarge my people's vision and their ability to see and hear from heaven. So position yourself to be prepared and to take action unlike any other. For I desire great impact, and the door to greater impact and influence in the nations of the earth is through greater faith and trust in the words I speak. I'm convinced, and I'm really excited about the season in which we live in. I saw something about a week ago. I'm not going to tell you exactly how I saw it, but the Lord told me, he goes, there is confusion in the enemy's camp right now. And it's so important to keep our eyes on the beauty of the Lord and focused on what he's called us to do. There's some easy influences you can stay away from. Media. Well, I listen to Fox News. Media. You know. There's nothing wrong with getting information, but don't inundate yourself with things that are trying to capture your soul. Don't get involved in battles that don't have anything to do with what you're called to do. And stay the course. Receive this word this morning?